Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
But of course, the movie Robin Hood is one of the most loved movies in all of classic literature. And if you've read the story, or at least you've heard the story, you realize that Robin Hood became the hero of Nottingham because, as common wisdom would say, he robbed from the rich and gave to the poor. But if you were to really pay attention to the movie or to the story, you realize that Robin Hood didn't really steal from the rich. Robin Hood intercepted the taxes that the government was extorting from the poor. Aha! I just saw the bulb go off in many of your heads there. And so the villains of the story weren't the rich. The villains of the story were the king and his cronies and the nobles that benefited from the heavy taxation. However, I digress, because I'm sounding like I'm giving you a political spiel, and I am. But I want to stop right there. Because the truth of the matter is that it's widely accepted that he stole from the rich. And according to today's political environment and political ideology, stealing from the rich is just. Because the rich, after all, are evil. So thinks our pop culture. One of the reasons is that we have this romance with socialism. And we love the idea of redistributing wealth, especially if you don't have any. And so our romance with socialism, our romance with the idea of redistributing wealth has led many people, not all, but many people to despise the wealthy. Now, I have a basic opinion, and I happen to think that if you distribute the wealth of the rich, there's not enough money to go around, then basically what you're going to do is you're going to make everybody equally poor if you distribute the money of the wealthy. But that's me. What do I know? Okay. However, what's important today, that, you know, the general feeling is that the rich people are evil because they've gotten their money through ill-gotten means, right? But I want you to understand something, that what's really important today is not what the world feels, not what pop culture thinks, as much as what God thinks, right? And so today we're going to look at what the eighth commandment entails. And we're going to look at the wisdom that God gave us through this eighth commandment. We're in this study called Family Values. We in this country have lost our moral bearings. We're in a moral crisis. We no longer know what's right or what's wrong. So we started this series basically as a way of just once again reinstilling in God's people the need to impart to our generation God's values. And so we're looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're basically saying that God's Ten Commandments are ten values, okay, worth keeping, okay, worth emulating, and worth transmitting to our future generations, right? They were values that God gave to his people over 3,500 years ago, and they've withstood the test of time. And not only have they withstood the test of time, keeping these commandments will make our society safer, will bring more prosperity to our society, okay, and will once again reintroduce order. And if all of us would take a quick If we could take a quick inventory of everything that we see, we realize we need order. And God says, you keep his commandments, and in a way you're returning, you're saying no to chaos, and you're saying yes to his order. Now, I always want to say this disclaimer. I don't think I've said it every single time, but I want to just say it just to make sure we are on the same page, is that keeping these commandments will in no way save you. In fact, one of the things that you understood as we started the commandments, you've probably gone through a checklist. You say, I think I've broken every single one of these. Right? So as you go down the line, you realize I'm an offender. I'm a repeat offender, in fact. Okay? And all of us probably at some point or other are repeat offenders. So one thing you come to the realization is that I cannot keep the Ten Commandments 100% of the time, number one. And number two, because of that, the Ten Commandments will not save you. The only one that will save you is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, understanding that he paid the price for us and that we're saved by faith, as I mentioned earlier, and not through works, because our works fall short of God's glory, right? And so no matter how hard we try, okay, we never get to the level of perfection that God expects from us, right? Notwithstanding, The Ten Commandments are relevant for today. They're good for us. They're good for our society, right? And so today we look at the command that deals with stealing. All the commandments deal with respect. God says, you got to respect me. God says, you got to respect me and not putting other gods before me. God says, you got to respect my name. Right? God says, you have to respect yourself by giving yourself a day off to rest and to refresh and recharge and renew your relationship with me. Respect yourself. You got to respect your parents. You got to respect your fellow man. Don't be going around killing people. Yeah, that's a good thing, right? and so you respect people. You respect, last week we talked about respecting your spouse in the commandment that prohibits, adultery. And today we talk about stealing. And what is stealing? The commandment mean when it says you shall not steal? Exodus 20:15. Really what it means is you respect your neighbors, you respect their property and their belongings, and you respect what's not yours. Now, according to the FBI, employee theft is the most common crime in America. Let that sink in. The most common crime in America is employee theft. And according to Sheer ID, which is a security and verification company, they've come out with a couple of stats, and they've determined that annually U.S. businesses and employers lose $50 billion annually because of employee theft. The percentage of employees who have stolen at least once, 75%. Don't raise your hands, but you're one of them. 75%. In fact, I found this very interesting, that says that the percentage of companies that go bankrupt, 33% of companies that declare bankruptcy do so because, as a direct result of theft within that company, employee theft. I found that to be very, very eye-opening and very alarming. Who's the one that steals the most? Men. Men steal more than women. High schoolers steal more than college students. Those with bachelor's degrees steal more than those with postgraduate degrees. Interesting. Higher education is good, I suppose. And so one of the ways in which we steal, not only employee theft, but another one that's a very, very widespread and is identity theft. According to identity fraud research from a Javelin Strategy and Research, the amount stolen last year through identity fraud was close to $17 billion. Now, we all know what it's like to have your debit card canceled. Why won't my credit card go through? It would be good if you put money in there. Okay. Yeah. No, but aside from that, when the money's in there and you won't go through, sorry, we detected some irregular activity, or maybe you found out that somebody over in Tampa, you know, went to Home Depot and cleaned out your account. I think all of us know what it's like to, you know, use debit cards and to have those debit cards compromised. And it seems like now it's almost like a regular thing that you every 6 months you have to replace your debit card. Why? Identity fraud. Insurance fraud. Insurance fraud accounts for almost $100 billion of revenue that's lost, either through wrong claims, property casualty, or through medical healthcare fraud. Healthcare fraud, according to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, amounts to $68 billion in lost revenues annually. $68 billion. That's a lot of money. And so the sad truth is, because it's so much money that we can't even process it. So the sad truth is that we're not even fazed by these stats. And the truth is that public opinion has so shifted over the last couple of years is that most people feel that companies get what they deserve. You're smiling at me like you agree. Now, what is stealing? Because that's really what the heart of this command is. Stealing is to take the property of someone else without having the right to that property. And that could be that you take it secretly, stealthily, without them knowing, or that you take it, you know, at gunpoint. Right? So stealing is taking of what you don't have permission or the legitimate right to take. And the key word in stealing is taking. Now think about that for a moment, because if you look at words that should be descriptive of Christians, okay, there's a lot of words that should be descriptive of Christians. Taking is not one of them. Giving is one. Taking is not. Right? So when you think about taking, the taking is an attitude of unregenerate man, right? To steal, to swindle, to con. The devil comes to rob, okay, and to steal. So stealing and robbing is right in the wheelhouse of our enemy, right? So, but yet we struggle with stealing and we make excuses for stealing. And we justify our taking. And there's a lot of ways in which we steal. I know one. I got a couple there. If you're following in the outline, just right off the bat, before we even get into the main heart. Some of the reasons why some people steal because they feel like they need to in order to survive and to make a living. Some people steal because they feel entitled. Why should that guy have a 10,000 square? Why should my boss have a 10,000 square foot house and I'm living in an 800 square foot apartment? So he could use to take a little bit of a hit. In fact, he won't even feel it. Right? So we feel like a certain entitlement to other people's resources and other people's belongings and other people's possessions. And sometimes people steal because they just feel the rush. It's kind of like it's like an addictive thing to try to get over on someone without them finding out. People find a thrill in that. Now, years ago, I remember this, we put this to the test. You guys might remember Carlos Romero, some of you that have been with us for a while. But there was a time when we had that little store up in the front, and we were going through a lot of theft. People would just be taking things. And, you know, it still happens today, happens in the church. It happens, you know, all across the board. But we decided one day, I think people steal just because they have the opportunity to steal and not because they actually need it. I think they do it for the thrill. And so we did a test. What we did is, okay, there was a counter where people would pay. And what we did is we put a rusty bolt there. Just a bolt. And we put it out, and basically our experiment was, let's see how long that rusty bolt actually survives there without somebody taking it. Do you realize that by 12 o'clock that afternoon, that bolt was gone? Somebody had a need, somebody felt the need to take the bolt. It wasn't theirs to take, but it was gone. And so we see this over and over. We see this kind of behavior. And it's, you know, one of the reasons why people take things is because of the rush, because of the thrill, because of the obsession with it. Now, if you really look at it, there's a couple of reasons why people take things. Number one, you have it in your outline. People, it's easier to steal than to work. So chalk that up to the category called laziness. Okay, so people steal because of laziness. Sometimes it's much easier to take something when someone's not looking, right, than to make an honest living through it. And, you know, some people make a some people make a living stealing. It's called hustling. Okay? And hustlers, what do they look for? They look for innocent people to con. Right? And they feel entitled to other people's property, and they feel like if you don't have enough of street smarts, then you deserve to be hustled. Right? And so they kind of subscribe to the philosophy, you know, the survival of the fittest. If I can get over on you, it's your bad. So sad. Okay? So a lot of times it's because of laziness. A lot of times people steal because of greed. Because you know that in 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." So I want something, I can't afford it, or I just don't want to pay for it. So you take it. Now notice what the verse says. It doesn't say the money. I always hear people misquote that scripture to say money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Okay, so it's not the object, it's the attitude towards the object. Right? When you deal with the issue of covetousness or as greed, one of the reasons why people steal, people that are given to greed, they bought into the myth that they can get something for nothing. I think you might have it in the notes, the reference, but I want you to reference Joshua chapter 7. Because in Joshua 7, there was a defeat, a debilitating defeat that the nation of Israel suffered because one man named Achan saw something that wasn't his. He took it and he affected the entire community. Remember that story? It's an amazing story, okay? It's a very interesting story at the very least. But what was his sin? Okay, his sin was that they were prevented from taking any of the spoils. God says the first spoils, everything you take from that city, you're taking over. Everything belongs to God. Give God the first portion. But what he did is he kept the first portion for himself. And why did he keep the first portion? It says in verse 21, it says that Achan confessed. He says, "I saw beautiful things. I coveted those things. I took those things." What was his sin? Greed. Manifested in taking what did not belong to him, right? Here's a third reason why people steal. People steal, and we just talked about this, to feed their pride and to feed their ego. Sometimes your income doesn't keep up. Okay, your income can't keep up with the Joneses. Right? So sometimes it's easier to obtain things illegitimately that sometimes will prop you up and maybe give you a statement of importance concerning your success or your accomplishments what you've been able to obtain. So I really can't afford these Air Jordans, but I bought them from a guy that knocked off the Foot Locker. I really can't afford this Rolex, but I stole it from someone that I know that took it from their house when they were cleaning. So what is it? It's to feed our pride. It's to feed our ego, to make us feel more important so that we can communicate to other people our sense of, look, you know, we've arrived, we're successful, we got all the bling. Right? So a couple of ways on how is it that we're actually stealing. We've talked about a few ways already, but some ways in which we steal is we steal when we deceive our customers. Some of you make your living in sales or you have your own business, and this might apply more to you. But when a repairman comes to your house to fix your dryer and they find 20 other things wrong with the dryer, okay, you know what? That's deceiving the customer. When you go to the doctor and the doctor orders 20 different tests on you that you don't need. Okay. When you talk to the salesperson and the salesperson doesn't tell you the fine print of the product that he or she is trying to sell you. When you're trying to sell your car that needs a new transmission, that the brakes don't work, that it leaks antifreeze, but you say to people, the thing is like new. Purrs like a kitten. Okay, you know what is that? What is it? That's deceiving. That's called stealing. That's stealing because you're not disclosing the truth of that situation. Another way in which we steal, and this is by, this is when, if you're in the workforce, okay, potentially you can cheat your employer, right? And the most commonly heard excuse for cheating your employer is, I deserve it. Or, check out this one, everybody else does it. It's understood. Okay, I work here. I haven't gotten a raise in 3 years, so I'm just helping myself out to these brand new set of tires. Right? Or some of you might say, you know, I didn't really intend to steal it. I just borrowed it. Okay, but you've had it in your house for 7 years. When are you going to give it back? Right? So by cheating employers, you know, and you know, that could be something very simple and could be very, very innocuous in your mind, in your thinking. Maybe taking home supplies, maybe taking home a ream of paper because you don't have paper for your printer at home. Maybe it's or as we know around the church here, taking some toilet paper because you don't have any at home. Come on, Jesus. Okay. Taking home merchandise or taking home equipment, and, you know, maybe cheating on your time card. I used to see this all the time. Listen, would you punch me out, you know, half hour later? Okay. Would you punch me in? I'm going to make it late. You call your buddy. Hey, punch me in so the boss doesn't get on my case saying that I wasn't there. And so what are you doing? You know, you're cheating your employer. No matter how big the company is, whether the guy is a two-man operation and you're his main employee, or whether it's a, you know, an employer that has, you know, thousands of employees, it really doesn't matter. Okay, so what are we talking about? You're cheating your employer. You know one way you cheat your employer? By wasting time on the job. If somebody's paying, think about it for a moment. You hire someone, you expect someone to work for the time that you've hired them, right? So think about it for a moment. If somebody's paying you for your time and you come in late and you leave early and you take 5 coffee breaks for 15 minutes and you take an hour and a half for lunch and then the rest of the time you take another 2 hours socializing around every cubicle, it doesn't give you much time to do anything, does it? Amen. And so how much time are you spending that you're actually working? And so God says what? It's stealing. Because somebody hired you to do something in good faith, expecting you that you would be a productive member of that workforce, right? So by cheating employers, sometimes stealing can be, as I mentioned earlier, defaulting on something you borrowed, whether that was money or whether that was an item. Right, it says in Proverbs 37:21, the wicked borrow and do not repay. The wicked borrow and do not repay. So maybe it was a credit line, or maybe it was a personal loan, or maybe it was some tools, or maybe it was some clothing, or maybe it was some CDs. Or here's one that I've experienced a lot. People borrow books and my books disappear. Okay. So let me ask you something. What's in your house that you need to return? Because it's not yours. Because you borrowed, right? So you default, you know, you default on a loan. God says that's stealing. Here's another way that we default. Now, I know you're not going to like this one because I don't like it, okay? But by withholding from the government their fair share of taxes. Now, of course, the operative word is fair, and we don't know what really fair is. But look at Romans 13, what it says in verse 6. It says, this is why you pay taxes, for authorities are God's servants. In fact, that word servant is a Greek word for which we get deacon. So the government is God's deacon. Say what? Yep. Is God's servant who give their full time to governing and give. So it says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. See, now we all hate to pay taxes. In fact, if you were to take inventory, you would come to the realization real quick that we pay way too many taxes in this company, except that it happens to be hidden through other names. Right? So most of us think taxes, okay, what you report on your annual tax return. But listen, when you think about fees and application fees and renewal fees and licenses and tolls and accreditation and everything else, registrations, those are all fancy names for taxes. Now, I don't like it any more than you. So here's not what I'm not. So I want you to understand that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't pay taxes. I'm saying that it's smart for you to try to find a way to legally, okay, avoid paying extra taxes. In fact, when you're given the offering today, at the end of the year, you get an itemized list of what you gave. You can use that list, what, to reduce your tax liability because you gave to a nonprofit. That's one way. I'd say it's good stewardship to reduce your tax liability because you're paying too many taxes already. So that's good, right? You're saving money. What I'm saying here is what's not good is tax evasion. Tax evasion will land you in jail. Why? Because it's not legal, it is illegal, right? Or falsifying documents to get a government benefit. Like, I didn't make that much money. Why? Because I made half of it in cash. And so when you're falsifying documents, what are we talking about? That's a form of fraud. That's a form of stealing. Now, here's another one that you may not be privy to. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about ways in which we steal. How about this one? By robbing from God. What? By robbing from God. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, God says. But you ask, it says in verse 8, how do we rob you, God? How can we rob you? And God says, you're robbing me by not paying your tithes and offerings. See, the Bible teaches us the concept of honoring God with your wealth. And with your first fruits. And God says, of everything that you have, whatever you earn, whatever you receive, God says, I want 10% back to me. So in other words, here's what God says. I'm giving you what you have. I'm giving you 10 Doritos. And out of those 10 Doritos, I want you to share one back with me. 10 M&Ms, give me one M&M. 10 French fries, I want one French fry. You... 9 for yourself, 1 for me, right? That's what God says. God says, so if everything that you make, okay, I want, God says right off the top, I want 10%. So now, if I'm paying my bills and I'm buying things, but I'm leaving God out, that's robbing God. That's another form of stealing. And that's a surefire way, by the way, of never having enough. Because you are closing the very door that God wants to use to bless you. Which is through giving, right? So these are ways in which we steal. And now here's the issue with stealing. The problem with stealing is that sometimes we don't understand that I'm being watched, and I'm being watched by three different people. And I hate to use the word people because the first one is I'm being watched by God, and God is not a man, right? So the reason I say it is because sometimes we think that we can steal because we think we can get away with it. That no one will ever find out. So, think for a moment. If you knew, everybody in the church would know that you stole those towels from the hotel room. Would you still take those towels? Pastor Dennis caught with Holiday Inn towels in his briefcase. Okay. If you knew that everybody was going to find out those towels, if somebody was going to go to your house, man, these are nice towels. And you say, Marriott, whoa. What's the first thing that you think of? The first thing you think of, this guy, he didn't buy them from the Marriott. I'm sure he didn't, you know. And so you would assume. So if you knew that people were going to find you out for stealing towels, then you know what? You wouldn't steal those towels, right? But here's what Satan does. Satan comes along and he says to you, nobody's going to find out. And what's the next thing he tells you? Besides, you owe it to yourself. Right? This hotel is overcharging you. Right? And they're already factoring in the price of those towels. So go ahead and help yourself. Because part of that fee is for theft. And they've already, they got it covered. So it's okay to take them. Right? And so that's what he tells you. He tells you, so you feel, yeah, that's right, they are overcharging me. Yeah, they wouldn't give a break. They give a break to this guy. He's paid $80 for a night, but they charge me $120 a night. So, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take these towels. Right? And so that's what Satan tells you, to just incite you to do something that will make you lose, that will make you lose your character, make you lose your testimony, right? And so he tells us it's okay to take the equipment because my company has insurance against theft, against loss. Or so you think it's okay to inflate the price with this person because they drive a luxury car. Remember years ago we used to have a Mastiff, a dog, a breed of dog. And it was a kind of a fancy dog. You don't see them very often. And so I found out quickly, early on in my early years of dog ownership, that some vets look at the breed of your dog and they charge you based on how exotic the breed is. That's why I got myself a rescue dog this time around. Not really, but it's true. I heard that. I mean, I'm not saying this is true. We have Dr. LaShawn McNair. I don't know if she's here. She's not here today. I'm sure she doesn't do that. But I heard that. I heard it through the grapevine. That's what some doctors do, and they inflate the price. Or maybe, you know, maybe you think, I lost a few deals. You know, I've lost money in the last few deals. So let me charge an extra 10% of what a fair price is to this person. What is that? That's a form of theft. And understand that you're being watched. See, you might think nobody will ever find out, but guess what? Somebody already did find out. The most important person in the world already knows. His name is God. Job says this. Says his eyes are on the ways of men. He sees every step. There is no dark place where evildoers can hide. Look at the person next to you. Say, God sees you. So I'm being watched. Nothing escapes God's view. I may fool other people. I may fool my company. You know what? I may be able to fudge the books and never, ever get caught. But my employers, I may be able to fool insurance companies. But listen, but I'm not fooling God. And he sees it all. Here's another group of people that are watching you. Your children. Right? If you're a parent, your kids, man, they watch you like a hawk. Even when you think they're not paying attention, they are. Right? And understand that as a parent, you know, we have this responsibility to teach them, but we also understand that they don't always learn by being taught. They learn more by catching things than by us verbally instilling things to them, right? And so values are more caught than they are taught, right? Now, here's what it says in Proverbs. This is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. It says, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. The Living Bible says it's a wonderful heritage to have an honest father. One of the greatest gifts you can give your children is not a new iPhone. Is not a new set of tennis shoes. Is not a brand new car for their graduation. Not even a computer, or an Xbox, or a PlayStation. One of the greatest gifts that you can give your kids is honesty and integrity, right? So I have to ask myself, what lifestyle am I modeling to my children? Is there anything in my life that I would be ashamed if they knew? Anything that would just cause me grief if they discovered it? Why is that a good question? Because that will help me reevaluate, you know, what I've been doing and perhaps act a little bit more in keeping with honesty and integrity. So I'm being watched by God. I'm being watched by my children. Here's one that's really important. I'm being watched by unbelievers. Right? Here's what it says in Matthew 5. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There are people that you work with. There are neighbors that you live near who may disagree with your faith, but they should never, ever disagree with your integrity. They should always respect your honesty. right? And so if they see you loafing around, you know, loafing around on company time, taking what's not yours, or borrowing the company truck for your own personal time without permission, okay, guess what you just done? You've just burned your bridge to them. And you've brought reproach on the gospel to them. Right? And so that's one of the reasons. And now think about it. As a church, what are we called to do? We're called to build the bridge to unbelievers. We're called to reach unbelievers. We're called to fill this church by bringing more unbelievers. We were all unbelievers at one time. Right? So that's our job. And the greatest asset that you have in bringing in believers is them to see in you a life change. And then that life change, one of the greatest things that you model for them in life change is that, yeah, I was a thief before, but I'm stealing no more. I was dishonest before to make the sale. But listen, you know what? God has changed me. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's a great change. And that speaks volumes to your unsaved friends when they see that change, right? And so here's the second reason. Not only because you're being watched, okay, but the second reason on the problem with stealing is that I reap what I sow. What goes around comes around, right? It's an unavoidable law of the universe. This is in Galatians 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Okay, you're not going to take advantage. You're not going to get over on God. It says, not only that, but God has created within this universe a universal law. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And that means that if I plant corn, I'm going to reap corn. Okay? Not Brussels sprouts. Right? So whatever, and what that means is whatever you give out in life is what you're going to get back. If I cheat people, if I make a living out of hustling people, then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be cheated. In fact, you see that in the Bible. Look at the story of Jacob. Jacob, he was called a deceiver. And he spent his life deceiving. And all of a sudden, okay, when it mattered most, boom, it came back on him. And he wound up working 7 years. They gave him the wrong wife. The deceiver had been deceived, right? So what goes around comes around. And if I take advantage of other people, then what's going to happen? People are going to take advantage of me. Right? Now, the opposite is also true. And what that means, if I'm honest in my decisions, you know what? God will see to it that even if you're honest and people don't always repay you with honesty, but here's what God does. God will see to it that you're blessed because you're honest. And so you're going to sow. Well, okay, you're going to sow whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And so if you sow kindness, and I mean, if you sow kindness, and if you sow integrity, and if you sow honestly, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you because you've done something for him, right? So here's a reason why it doesn't work, because whatever it sows, it reaps. Here's another reason why stealing is something that you should consider getting rid of in your life, because stealing damages your character. See, you can acquire a lot of things with money that you secured illegally, but in the end, it's going to destroy you. In the end, it'll destroy your family. Okay, it's going to destroy your reputation. What good is it, the Bible says, if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? At the end, what real profit do you have for all those things that are stolen? Think about the implications of stealing for a moment, okay? A person who steals cannot be trusted. Why? Because if they steal from others, they will steal from you. They will steal from me. So if you want to build your reputation, you want to build your character, you got to put away, okay, you got to put away this thing called stealing. And so sometimes people will make the excuse, you know, I just can't make it in the marketplace if I don't cheat. Well, listen, you're in the wrong marketplace then. Because God's calling you to a life of integrity, not a life of excuses. So either you live with integrity where you are, or you find a different vocation where you don't have to cut corners, right? See, what happens is a lot of times we buy into the lie that if I don't lie, I can't sell the product. Well, if you have to lie to sell the product, maybe you shouldn't be selling that product. right? And think about what you're really saying, because what you're really saying is that I have to take matters into my own hands. I don't believe that God can take care of me in this situation if I maintain honesty. I don't believe that I'll ever be able to sell anything. I don't think I'll ever be able to get ahead in life unless I fudge the facts a little bit. And so what you're saying is that you don't think you can trust God's word. So you have to make up for where you think God is lacking. What is that? That's the ultimate deception. To think that God's word can't be trusted. To think that God will not come through for you. In fact, if you think about it, you think that on the job, the exact opposite is true. Integrity always pays, right? Because customers want to come back if they know you did right by them. So you will have not only repeat clientele, but you'll also have referrals from a satisfied clientele. Now, how many of you guys have hired people in the past that you will say, I will never, ever call them back? Yeah, I do too. I got people that I've done business with, that I've hired, that I know in my mind, I will never, ever, you will never listen. If I even hear your name, I'm going to have to tell people the truth of what you did to me. And so think about that. So integrity goes a long way, because when you deal with somebody that deals with you from the standpoint of integrity, and they're giving you, you know, something fair for a fair price, you don't have a problem giving that recommendation. You don't have a problem calling them back. And so all I'm saying is that integrity does pay. Don't sell your soul for a couple of bucks. Right? Because it's going to cost you more in the future. It's going to cost you much more than what you can afford right now. Which is something that, by the way, is so rampant in Miami when it deals with business. Because sometimes we want to get cheap labor. Cheap, 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 cheap. And you get cheap results. And those guys take off on you. Okay? And never to be seen again. And where are they? 5 years, 10 years down the line, they're still struggling. Why? Because they weren't able to maintain integrity. You maintain integrity and God will prosper you. Right? And so here's the next point is God rewards integrity. And it says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. The implication here is that those that are fixated, those that are, you know, on accumulating wealth will cut corners. If you're trying to get rich quick, you're likely will be willing to compromise your integrity in order to get that, right? And this also speaks to the idea is that many people, they live their lives thinking as though their only reward is here on earth. Listen, believers, do you realize there's an afterlife? Do you realize there's more to this life than this life? Do you realize that the Bible lets us know, okay, that there is one of two places where we will spend eternity? And so what happens is that when you look at our society, so many people, they live as though this life were the only life. And so no wonder people are stealing from each other. No wonder we're treating people wrongly. No wonder we're defrauding people. No wonder we're being vile. No wonder we're being vulgar, because we only think that all we have is this life, the here and now. Fred Catherwood wrote in a magazine called Evangelicals Now, he said, greed is the logical result of the belief that there is no life after death. We grab what we can, while we can, however we can, and then we hold on to it hard. Because you don't think there's anything else coming afterward. And I want to tell you, the greatest rewards we have in life are not here. Not in this life. They're coming in the life that's yet to come. Right? We're going to spend, what, 80 years here, 70 years here, 90 years here on earth. But we're going to spend millions of years in eternity. Right? So if I respond in a righteous manner, in a righteous way, and I make a commitment, I'm not going to take what's not mine. I'm not going to take whether that be money or property or identity or time. God says there's going to be a great reward for you in heaven. It says in Matthew 25, it says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. There's going to be rewards in heaven for you not selling your soul, for you not compromising your integrity. So what do? Stop stealing now. Stop stealing now. And so that means that we look for a way. We look knowing it is a value that God wants to instill in families. We look for a way to eliminate all forms of stealing from our lives. Look what it says in Luke 16. It says, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. I want God to trust me. I want God to trust me with much. God says, I will trust you with much if you can be trustworthy with the little things. Right? And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you a property of your own? So what is that? That just flies in the face with the whole mentality that I got to take from my employer because he's rich, because he's evil, because he's got way more than me, because he deserves it. God says, no, 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 no. If you're faithful in his property, one day God will give you property of your own. If you're faithful in one man's company and your heart is to have a company of your own one day, God will one day give you a company of your own. If you're faithful in some else's ministry, God will one day give you a ministry of your own. That's the way it works. Okay? So stop stealing now. Here's the first a couple ways that you can do that. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful. It says in Ecclesiastes 5:19, moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them. See, it's God that gives man wealth. Right, so don't look at those people around us that make a lot of money. Don't look at them as, oh, they're evil. No, they help you. They employ you. Right? It says that God gives them any wealth and possession and enables them to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work. This is a gift from God. So here's what God says. He says, you have something that I've blessed you with. You have treasure. You have talents. You have abilities. You have wealth. You have possessions. You have belongings. Okay, you know what? You're blessed if you can be happy with what you have. Now, that's something that, man, sometimes we wrestle with because we think that happiness is if I get just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Because I was watching the movie of John Paul Getty, the billionaire tycoon of the oil industry, and he had everything, and he was a greedy man. He had everything, and one of the scenes in the movie was, when is it going to be enough? And he responds, when I make a little bit more. And this guy was, you know, in his time, the wealthiest person in his time, when I make a little bit more. See, happiness is not getting what you want. Real happiness comes from enjoying what you have right now. Look at the person and say, I'm happy with what I have. Tell them, I don't need a Christmas present this year. Hold on a second. Hold on. That was a little hard for some of you guys to say that. Okay. Yeah, so you'd be grateful for what you have. And in fact, that's a real mark of maturity, isn't it? Maturity, a responsibly mature a person says, enough, I'm happy right now. Yeah. I'm happy right now. So be grateful for what you have. Here's the second thing. Make it a point to refuse to earn anything or to acquire anything that's dishonest. If you haven't bought it, if you haven't earned it, if you haven't been given it by the owner, it belongs to someone else, and that's where it should stay. Right? Now, if you really, really want something that's caught your eye, okay, or you really want a benefit that you kind of aspire towards, okay, then acquire it the old-fashioned way. Amen. Work. Amen. For it. Right? You work for it. And there are some things that God has blessed us with, and sometimes, you know, you're not going to maybe get it overnight, but if you work towards some things, maybe in your heart, man, I'd like to get a nice car. Work for it. Maybe one day you say, man, I would love to take a European vacation. Work for it. Man, one day I would love to go. I would love to go on that trip to Israel with the church. Work for it. Ask God to bless you and bless your hands and your effort and work for it. And you will see that God will honor you if you maintain your integrity and refuse to get things through ill-gotten means. And if you apply yourself and then you start saving a little bit at a time, before you know it, you've achieved that dream. and you fulfill one bucket list item. Right? And here's the other way, is don't do to someone what you wouldn't want done to you. Place yourself in the shoes of your employer. See, everybody thinks the employer deserves it. He deserves to be slow. But what if you were the employer? You're not following the golden rule. Oh, if I were the employer, well, yeah, I wouldn't like it. So don't do to someone what you wouldn't want to be done to you. Here's one that's going to just, this is going to be eye-opening to some of you. Some of you are going to fight this. Don't resist. Look at the person next to you. Don't resist this one. Fourth point. Make restitution when possible. What is restitution? Restitution is that if I steal $1,000 from you, it's not enough for me to say to you, I'm sorry, I stole $1,000. Please forgive me. How easy is that? No, restitution is not only that you say you're sorry, but now you work towards making it right. You got to give that guy that you stole $1,000, you got to give that money back. Now, that's a biblical principle. I'm not telling you something the Bible does not teach, because in Luke 19, you have the story of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was hated, okay, in his day and time because he was a tax collector. And a tax collector during the Roman times, they didn't get paid any money by the Roman government. The Roman government basically said to the tax collector, this is what you need to give us for every person in your region. And so tax collectors were free to charge whatever they wanted from the people that they took taxes from. So if I had to pay, you know, $100 in taxes to the Roman government, okay, the tax collector could come to me and say, you got to give me $200. And you had no recourse. And because you had no recourse, you were hated and you were despised. So one day, Jesus approaches his tax collector. His name was Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, we're going to go eat in your house today. Zacchaeus was so gratified and overwhelmed. In fact, something took place in the house when Jesus stepped in that Zacchaeus was transformed. How do you know he was transformed? Because look at what it says there in Luke 19. And I think it's in verse 8. He says, Lord, if I cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much. Boom! What are we talking about? Restitution. Zacchaeus is not saying, Lord, I'm thankful that I have all this and you know, may all those people that I defrauded forgive me. No, he says, I'm going to pay back everything and not just pay back what I took. I'm going to pay back four times as much. He was so impacted that he committed to make it right. You know what that's called? That's called restitution. But listen to me. Because it's not just what he did. Look at how Jesus reacted to him. Because in verse 9, Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. What? Because Jesus recognized, it's not just lip service. Anybody could say, forgive me, I stole from you. Right? So in other words, Jesus says, this guy gets it. He's a tax collector. He's despised, but he gets it. He's saying, salvation has come to us. What is he saying? This guy has become a believer. This guy has become saved, right? It's not a matter of just lip service. It has to do with behavior. It has to do with making things right. I know some of you guys right now, you're like processing. You're crunching all the numbers. If I give back everything I stole, I'll be paying it until I'm 99 years old. All I'm saying to you is that these are something that you definitely need to pray about, because sometimes you have it within your means. You have it within your means to do. I read an article, a story on Inside Edition. A man returned a stolen library book 35 years later, along with a check for $200. They interviewed him. He said, yeah, I read the book at least 20 times. I knew it wasn't mine, but it just came to a point where my conscience was so bothering me, I had to give it back. And I figured with all the late charges of libraries back then, I guess, because I don't know how they do that anymore. But he sent them a check 35 years later. Maybe today you need to make a list. Maybe today you need to go home and wrap up some stuff and mail it back. Maybe today there's some office supplies you need to return. Maybe there's a neighbor's ladder you still have in your house. Maybe there's some towels from the hotel room. Okay. That you need to make right. Maybe you need to send a check. Okay, no, you don't want them to know who it is. Okay, so send a money order. Anonymously. You know what? I took some supplies. Maybe you don't want your name. Okay, I understand that because of fear of legal, you know, action against you. So send it anonymously. It could be a great witnessing opportunity for you to go back to them, send them with a note and say, you know what? I'm making restitution for this. Okay, because I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. Wow. And I want to do what's right. And underneath you signed it, a clear conscience. Now it can no longer bother you. Right? So make restitution. Here's the last one. And you already know this. Make an honest living. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands. And whatever you do, there's a scripture, do it as unto the Lord. Some of you guys have bosses, man, that, you know what? They rub you the wrong way. Don't raise your hands. And identify yourself. But they rub you the wrong way, and they're, you know what? They're obnoxious, and maybe they can be vulgar, and maybe they can be very condescending. But listen, I want you right now for a moment to say, God, I am not going to go to work tomorrow and work for this man. I'm going to go tomorrow, and I'm going to work for Jesus Christ. I'm going to make God my employer. Okay, and whatever this man says, listen, it's going to just fall off my back. I'm going to take the instructions he gives me based on whatever I have to do work-wise. But Lord, I'm going to do work as unto you. Do work as unto you. Listen, you don't understand how great your productivity would improve if we all just said, I'm doing this as unto the Lord and not unto man. Not stealing is a great value. It's a great value. I think if you and I were to look down the list, we'd probably say, you know, 75% have stolen from their employers. Maybe we're in that list. When you look at all the commandments, you realize I don't have a chance to make it to heaven if it's based on keeping the list. But here's the good news. You don't have to keep the list in order to have a relationship with Christ. All you have to do is accept what he did. He paid the price for you.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.